So her and her, all of her bridesmaids got ready here at the funeral home, and then we limoed them over to the church for the wedding. So yeah,
It was a limo, not a hearse, not the
fun to be
hearse.
able to use. Yeah, we used a limo. We took the groom in the hearse because his life was over, right?
Hopefully we don't get any calls. I'm at the funeral home too, so hopefully neither of us
Yeah,
have to
me
duck.
too. I snuck off into a quiet room,
Yeah,
so.
I literally just washed my hands. I was embalming, so. And
What we do.
yeah, that's what we do. That's the way it goes, and then we jump on our podcast and we
Make
dive.
time for fun.
Exactly. Tell me about your experience meeting the Cinderella story of your life, your mortuary.
Yeah, so that's our greatest. It's the greatest love story of all time. So, I was actually working at the current funeral home that I'm at now. My wife was in mortuary school here at our local mortuary school program in Carl Sandburg College.
Nice.
And at the time, when it came time for placement in a funeral home for a practicum, she ended up being placed here. And I was not her direct teacher. The owner was her direct teacher. I just was working here, and yeah, we hit it off. So I met her in the funeral home, and we had a quick courtship, and we actually got married in the funeral home in the
No,
chapel where
you
we had our wedding. And
what?
we thought, what better place to get married than the funeral home where we met?
Wow.
So fast forward from there. That was in 2000, and 2009 we bought the place. So yeah, it's the greatest love story ever told. And 2014 she joined me here, so now we work alongside each other every day. So yeah, that's our greatest love story of all time.
And then in 50 years, you'll be both buried out of the same place too.
Yeah, I mean, how you know it all started and ended in the same place. We thought that just kind of seemed fitting. So
Whose idea was it to actually get married there?
We both were kind of like, I went to church sort of at the time. She didn't really go to church. She's not from here. We were doing a real small wedding anyway, and we were like, the funeral home chapel seems like about the perfect place. Funeral home she used to work at was a beautiful old funeral home, and the chapel was gorgeous, and they used to rent it out sometimes for weddings. So, the idea was kind of already in her head. So we're like, why don't we just get married right here at the funeral home? Has everything we need. Music, podium, microphone, speakers, chairs. What else do you need?
Coffee.
Leftover flowers from a funeral. What
I'm
else do you need?
sure
Coffee,
you had the most beautiful displays throughout the chapel of day-old flowers.
Yeah. Well, no, we actually got friends. We got married right before Christmas, so we just decorated the poinsettia. So yeah.
Yeah, well, that makes it easy. I've always said that to
So
her.
yeah, it's a
A good
it,
time.
yeah, it's a fun little story.
Yeah, did you use
I like to share with people.
did you use the funeral home's florist then too?
Oh yeah, yep, we did. Yeah, I called him up and said, "Hey, I need some flowers for a special occasion that's not a funeral." So yeah, he took care of us, and we had these lovely poinsettias, and she had a nice bouquet, and yeah, it was perfect. It was small, and we're going on what 20? This is our 24th year
That's
of being
great.
married, so seems to be working okay.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It sure does. So what was the setup like then at the funeral home? And how did it go? Like, did you have a reception there too? I'm so curious as to how this actually goes down.
Yeah, no. We actually we had the wedding here, and then we went down to a local kind of brew pub that has a side room, and just had a small family celebration
Nice.
reception down there with a few close friends and our family. So yeah, we didn't have any we didn't have cake and punch here at the funeral home, but now we could. So
Yeah.
we've added on some places that we could have just had our reception right here. So
Well, you have to have a renewing of your vows. Oh no, your wife's gonna be listening. You're gonna be like, damn it, Michael, I gotta renew my vows at the funeral
yeah, well, the surprise is out, I guess. So
home. That's great. I've got a couple of stories from I guess wedding funeral related. I mean, my sister and multiple of my cousins used our florist that we use at the funeral home, and she pretty much strictly does funeral home flowers, but she did their flower arrangements. And then my brother, sure, who got married last year, we all got ready at the funeral home. You know how everyone does that nowadays, where everyone puts on their tuxes, and then all the women put on their dresses and do their hair and makeup. So we were in one chapel, they were in another chapel. We put up a divider so my brother couldn't see his soon to be wife. And it was fun because, I mean, we grew up here in our environment, and, you know, we both work in funeral service. So it's very cool that we got to do that. And I think that's a dream of a lot of funeral directors, as weird as probably that sounds to a lot of normal people, quote unquote.
Well, yeah, there's definitely normal people, and then there's us. My predecessor's daughter, when she got married, the church they belonged to is just like 3 blocks from our funeral home. And so her and her, all of her bridesmaids got ready here at the funeral home. And then we limoed them over to the church for the wedding. So
it was a limo, not the hearse.
To be able to use. Yeah, we used the limo. We took the groom in the hearse because his life was over, right?
Oh, that is so
good. So, but, you know, it's fun to use the funeral home for things other than funerals.
Yep, sure is. We used to do it all the time. We would have practice here. I remember my sister would have gymnastic practices. We would have birthday parties. We would sleep over.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so second nature for us. But any of our friends that were fringe friends that didn't really know our family too well,
right,
they found out we were having, you know, a birthday party, or we would do New Year's Eve at the funeral home for like 6 years in a row. My sister's engagement party, like, we've used it for so many different things, and it's the second home for us funeral directors.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes it's our first home.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
we built 10 years ago, we built an ancillary building to the funeral home, kind of a complimentary building. We put in our own crematory, some office space, a small arrangement room, which actually where I'm sitting now. Nice. And then our main room is just a big open room. We call it the Thomas Legacy Center. And we host a lot of after funeral luncheons and that kind of stuff. But where it's really taken off are places that I never anticipated. We do all kinds of birthday parties and bridal showers and, you know, 1-year-old baby birthday parties. We have families that rent it every year on Thanksgiving, families that rent it every year on Christmas.
Wow.
And for several years, we used to host a New Year's Eve party here with a bunch of our friends here in this building. So
it's been a great
asset to us for sure. So.
Yeah, it seems like you utilize it in the way that our family sort of uses it too, but you take it to a different level. And I think it's such a smart way to have an additional form of revenue for the funeral home, because you have this beautiful facility and it goes unused a lot of times, especially like, I mean, Saturday evenings, for example, which is prime time for people using it for parties and whatever else, and it goes unused.
Right.
Why not capitalize and say, like, hey, we have a beautiful facility. We could use it for any party. It doesn't matter that it's a funeral home. It's a nice space where people can gather, and it's a big room.
Yeah.
You can make it however you want. Have a certain, not service, but have a party or whatever it is, then, and make it your own, which is a little bit different than you would maybe get at restaurants and things like that. You can make it special to whatever event you're hosting.
Yep. It's got a full kitchen, and most people have their stuff catered in. And, you know, we build it to not look like or feel like a funeral home.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's a totally separate building. You know, it's just across my parking lot, so I can, it's on the same property.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can walk over there. So it's got its own bathrooms. It's, you know, it's completely independent.
Wow. That's a very good idea.
You know, it's worked out great. Like I said, it's been here 10 years, and it gets used probably as much or more for non-funeral related stuff as it does funeral stuff.
That's fantastic.
It's just a great venue. You know, it's ground level. It's super, super handicap accessible, plenty of parking, you know. It's been great for cultivating relationships.
Right.
You know, outside of the funeral home.
Right, because
Yeah, so it's
everyone probably associates the funeral home with going to funerals, but if you have some other form of
right.
association, it's going to lead to a positive mentality that people are going to have, like, oh, I've been to that funeral home for a so-and-so party. Like, why not use them if I have a loss in my family? It's a
Right.
great way to get your foot in the door that isn't specifically what we normally do on a day-to-day basis.
Right. It's just a, it was a different avenue, my wife and I were at the point, 10 years ago, we're like, all right, what's our next phase going to look like? Are we going to
Right.
buy? Are we going to try to expand? Buy a couple other funeral homes? We talked to a few people. A couple of places I was interested didn't work out at the time, and I thought, well, I'm pretty sure cremation is here to stay.
Yep.
Let's build a crematory, and if we build a crematory, I want to do this. So it was a little scary,
Yeah,
borrowing that
big
much
leap.
kind of money to. It was a big leap of faith. I got a good friend of mine that's kind of an entrepreneur in town, and he said, just walk off the end of the dock. The boat is there. You just can't see it yet. So,
Yeah.
we walked off the end of the dock, and 10 years later, things are going great, we're grateful we have our crematory,
Yeah.
and it's super nice to have that in-house,
Yeah.
from our end for multiple reasons. And what seven? I mean, 7 years ago, we put in a pet crematory,
Nice.
so yeah, so we provide pet cremation, so yeah, lots changed in my 30 years
Yeah, it sounds like
being
it.
around.
That's wonderful, though. I love to hear you taking that jump, because a lot of funeral directors do have that spirit, that entrepreneurial spirit, because we are in small family funeral homes or small funeral homes in general, and there is such a predominant business side of things that we have to attend to all the time, and it can be scary. Like when we were starting our business, my brother and I, like it was an intimidating thing where it was like, should we do this? Like, should we dive in head first? And I think that's the only way to do it, because the longer you wait, the less likely you're to do it. And then look at you, 10 years later, it's panned out for you and you've seen a lot of success with it, and it's led to like even more things that you probably didn't even expect.
No, and it's been fun, and I love to get to know people, and this again, this whole led us to a whole nother avenue of being able to create and grow those relationships with
Yeah.
positive things that aren't funeral related,
Sure.
and yeah, I've always been a firm believer of I'd rather do it and fail than get to the end and go, I wonder what would happen if I would have done that. So
No doubt.
I just get out there and get it done.
There's no doubt about it, but
Hold
you're
my breath, kind of like you guys have done,
right.
just do it.
Right. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
And as funeral directors, we know that too. Like, life is so short, and you see people on the other side every single day. So it's like, what are you going to hold back for? What take that leap, have some confidence in yourself, because
Yeah.
the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to live with a regret. So you'd rather go and try something and give it your all than say, hey, like I didn't even try. And like, you live with that the rest of your life, and it's going to just eat you up. And that's why I think it's just the best that you just go for it, because we have that fortunate mindset that not a lot of people in the world have.
Yeah, so I guess where I was kind of going is I need to reschedule with you because I lost my dad a couple of years ago, and a couple of months ago my mom found a couple of spots that she thought maybe was cancer, and she'd had some cancer in the past, and
Jeez.
anyway, after a bunch of tests and whatnot, I mean, she's got cancer lots of different places now,
Oh.
and it just teaches us how quickly fleeting life can be, how you can go from here to there and so quick.
Yeah.
And anytime it's always personal for me, for any family, but when it starts to become a family member that you're going through life things with, things get a little more difficult. And but it also helps keep me grounded and realizing that, what we do is more than just it's what we do every day, but for everybody else, it's not what they do every day,
Right.
and we need to remember that. So
Yeah.
yeah, it's right now I'm kind of in a personal spot in funeral service, thinking about trying to get my mind prepared or what it's going to be like to have to conduct my mom's funeral. So yeah,
Oh, man.
It's okay. It is what it is. I don't know when that time is going to be, but you know, it's good to get in get in that mindset, and I think it just helps us keep us grounded.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that, and just it's never an easy thing, like
Oh no,
family.
I didn't. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So I didn't throw it out there for that. I just, you know, I think sometimes we all as funeral directors kind of, and I have to tell my young staff that you know, we got to remember that it's what we do every day. You know, walking for you grew up in it. So walking in a casket selection room is, you think nothing about it. You know, it is what it is. It's a room full of caskets. Well, you bring somebody in there that's never been in one before, a selection room, and it's their first experience, and it's their wife or their mom or whoever it might be. It, you know, it can take their breath away, and we forget that sometimes. And you know, I think sometimes that's one of the things I talk about with younger funeral directors is we have to remember those things that it's personal for them. It's not what they do every day, you know. And I've always really tried to hold that close to my heart, but sometimes we all forget.
Yeah, it's hard when you're busy and you got your head down and you have to do your work, you lose that touch sometimes. And I know we do our very best to not get into that space where we're just operating second nature, but it just happens. Like it naturally happens. And if you are a funeral director that's denying that, you're lying, because it happens to everyone. Everyone goes through that phase where you forget a little bit about what this family's going through. And sometimes it takes a difficult experience or some eye-opening thing, or maybe you have an emotional experience with the family. I don't know what it is, but sometimes we need that little smack to the head to say, hey, this family's going through like the worst time in their life. Maybe they've never done this before, like you said, Mark. So we have to treat them in that way and keep that focus to say, this family needs our support right now, and they're leaning on us, they're counting on us.
Right. You know, and I'm sure you get asked quite often is how do you do this every day? You know, we get asked, I'm like, gosh, I couldn't do this every day. And you know, and it's one of those things where I remind them like it's your mom, it's not mine. I'm here to take care of you. You know, you're here to grieve your loss, and I'm here to take care of you. So, you know, we don't feel the same things they feel. So, you know, I feel blessed. I tell people all the time, and they're like, man, your job must suck. I'm like, I absolutely love what I do. I can't imagine ever doing anything else.
Yeah, that's a cool
You know,
point.
it sounds crazy, but you know, it's su you know, I'm super passionate about funeral service, and you know, it's one of the kind of next places I want to go. You know, we talk about, you know, just taking the leap of faith, and I've been coroner down here in our county for going on 20 years, and you know,
Wow.
that chapter's kind of starting to close. And you know, one of the things that I want to do is get out and talk to some of the younger up and coming funeral directors, and you know, just talk to them about funeral service, and it's okay to make light of the things we do, like you do on, you know, on your memes, and you know, I get a good chuckle out of it, and I think
I appreciate it.
a lot of other funeral professionals do. And I think there's, you know, I don't know because I'm on the outside looking in, but I'm guessing there's a lot of outside of funeral service people that get good chuckles out of it too. So, you know, we kind of, there's that fine line where we kind of have to laugh about what we do a little bit, you know,
Yeah.
or we'd all go crazy. So,
Yeah, that's a big reason of what we do. What we do is because we're trying to give people some entertainment, some laugh to normalize, in whatever way we can. And it's just like a helpful coping
Yeah,
mechanism for me, honestly, and then for trying to do the
well, I was
same.
gonna say it probably helps you too.
Yeah, it sure does. Like because I like your mindset, and everyone has a different way of dealing with what we do. Some people are like you, where it's like, hey, it's about that family member. It's not about the person that's lost. Like that's a lot of people. A lot of people, they try to say when work is over, like I leave myself, you know, I leave it at work. And but that's a hard thing, especially when you own your own. So I don't know.
Yeah, I've got a wife and two kids that would tell you that I'm not very good at leaving work at work. I don't lock the door at night and go, well, I'll worry about the funeral home in the morning, you know?
It's impossible. It's always on the top of the mind,
Yeah.
always. Yep, it sure is. I'd love to know about.
But
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Mark.
no, I just didn't have anything important there.
Okay, great. I want to know about your relationship with your wife and the dynamic at work. So how does that go in general? And I think that's something that, it's rare, but it happens every so often. So I'd love to know how that is on a day-to-day and overall basis for you guys.
It's probably the first year to year and a half. I wasn't 100% sure one of us was going to survive.
Oh no, yeah.
Well, I mean, we were a growing funeral home, and I've gotten to the point where I needed somebody. She's actually an accountant by trade as well, so
No kidding.
to have her be able to come in and handle all the accounting side of it and be a licensed funeral director and totally understand what happens at a funeral home is huge. And to bring her in, I never really had a sounding board. I ran it by myself. At the time I had one other full-time employee, and it just, I didn't bring up, I tried not to bring work home. She had her own full-time job and we had little kids, and she didn't need more stress of the things that stress us young funeral home owners out. Just everything from finances to just how do we get everything done. And so when I brought her in, of course, I'm not an accountant, so there was a little bit of, changing there, getting it on board to really how it should have been done, and just growing that relationship, understanding what it felt like to what work was like and what being married was like. And yeah, as much as we are married, we try to have a working relationship that's different than our married relationship.
That's got to be very
Doesn't
important.
always work out that way. But people are like, I don't know how you work 10 feet from your wife all day, every day. I'm like, I might work 10 feet from her, but we talk about nothing but work stuff. Like she's my sounding board. I'm hers. And, we can discuss different things. It's great to have somebody to discuss things with that, when, if there's a big project that we want to do, or, some, just whatever it might be, to be able to have somebody that I can help make that decision with, versus before, I really just did it all by myself. Now it's a bit strange. If I'm not here or if she's not here, it kind of feels like something's missing. So, if she takes a day off to do whatever, I'm like, man, it's kind of weird not having you around here all day. So, now it's completely normal, and it's fantastic, and it would be weird if we weren't together all day every day. And
It's really nice.
for a lot of husbands and wives are like, I could never be with my husband or slash wife all day every day. And I said, it again, it you know it definitely took a while, and I can't say it has always been and still is and always will be sunshine and roses, but for the most part, I can't imagine doing it any other way. It was kind of always our dream when the opportunity came to buy this place that someday she would come on board, bring her, her talents and skills as a just a people person and a funeral director, and definitely her ability to handle books in here to the funeral home and take care of, really take care of, she runs this operation. Let's be honest here. I would say I might be the face, but she's the one behind the curtain operating the place. So, but yeah, she doesn't really do much funeral directing, but she can. And she says every once in a while she plays funeral director, but she tries not to. It's, she's got her own set. That's not really her job here, but it's nice to have it. It's kind of like having an extra licensed person around for the few oddball times that you need it. Everybody's tied up on a service or with a family, and we have a death call somewhere, or a family just walks in and they want to talk to a funeral director. Nobody wants to send them away and have them come back later. So it really is nice to have somebody that doesn't do the funeral directing things on a daily basis, but they can because they're licensed to do them. So it's again, doesn't happen often, but when it does, it sure is a benefit to have that bonus person around.
Yeah, it's an extra asset, and I think that's just such a beautiful thing that you're able to get through the challenge at the beginning, and then now you're on the other side of it, and you couldn't imagine it without each other like that. that's a dream. That's a beautiful thing. And just something really special. And to think about the time that you get to spend together that other people don't have that amount of quality time together. Like, that's a fortunate thing. And something that, you know, people say that they wouldn't be able to do that. I think that's would be something you would want to aspire for. Like, that would be the dream,
right?
That you're with someone that you would be able to be together with that amount of longevity and time together, just on a frequency basis every day. That's
it's a bit, it's not normal anymore.
No.
And, you know, and I do, like, we're in a small town of 30,000 people, and, you know, we're pretty rural. There's, you know, the two biggest towns near us are both about 40 minutes away. We're, you know, a two and a half hour train ride to Chicago from here. And just, but it's great. And I think the community likes truly having a family operated funeral home. I mean, a husband and wife team, you don't see those very often anymore of it on anything. And, you know, to still have that kind of thing, and both of us work, but work at the same place together and for the same good is just, something we aspired to. That kind of, her starting here was another one of those leap of faith. She had a great job, and, you know, it's hard to walk away from multitudes of things with it, from healthcare to, you know, her pay and all those things. But, you know, it was one of those dreams we had up on our dream board, just wouldn't want it any other way now.
That's wonderful. And very, very great that you're able to set your goals together then, because you both have something that you're striving for on the business side of things. So you have your relationship and your business, and it's good that that'll give you some extra juice and energy for your relationship, I'd imagine, is having those dreams and goals at the funeral home.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like, we love to go to conventions together. You know, we go out there and we love to hit the convention floors and get a lot of great ideas and different things to bring back to the funeral home. And I like having her there. Having a female mind compared to mine is fantastic. It's two completely different, and we think completely differently. And, you know, it's just great to have her here, because I don't have to try to re-explain it when I come home. Like, hey, this is something I think we should do at the funeral home. You know, when she brings in great ideas that she's like, I think this is something we should start offering. And we have a lot of fun when we go to those. People think we just, conventions are like mini vacations. And if you truly go to the National Funeral Directors Convention, and get out of it what you pay for, it is anything but a vacation.
Yeah, you know? That's for sure. We were in Vegas this past year. It's a full event. You get to do a lot and learn a lot, and it is what you put into it. So you get out of it what you put in.
Yeah, we kept ourselves busy out in Vegas this year when we were out there. So I didn't really, you know, I was still kind of just learning who the heck you were and at the time. And at first, I just thought you were another one of those funny funeral meme pages, and I was just following along to your funny memes and your videos. And as I started watching more and learning more, and I'm like, well, there's a lot more to this guy. And then I found your podcast, and I'm like, man, he's got all kinds of fun things going on, and get to interview funeral drones. And so, I thoroughly enjoy watching your podcast as a funeral director. I love to, when you talk to other, you know, funeral professionals, get their take on things, and it's just fun to see. You know, I live in the middle of nowhere in Illinois, and things don't affect us, and other places are further ahead than us, and you have different issues in, you know, in metro areas than we do as far as funeral homes and those kind of things. So I always like to get different people's perspectives and see what it's like for another funeral home in a different town.
Yeah, it's part of why I love doing this, because you learn so much from everyone all over the country and even world. I've had guests from throughout the world, and there's bits and pieces that you can take from everyone, and what you like, you can implement in your own business as you see fit. It's amazing.
You know, the funny thing is So years ago, we used to keep everything we did so secretive from everybody, in between
Yes.
the general public to other funeral homes, whether they were our competitors or not. And
No
like,
doubt.
we're not doing anybody any good by doing this. So, I've always, since my day one, I've tried to inform the general public just really what we do as funeral directors. And I'm all about, like, if I see a funeral home in a town I'm visiting, I want to stop and visit it. I want to say, hey, what do you guys do here? Hey, I like to see how different people do things. I might want to institute them here,
Right.
and I think we all can sometimes miss things when we're not trying to work collectively together for the greater good. And
Absolutely.
there used to be a thing called funeral cribs. I don't know if NFEA did, who did that, but that's kind of one of those things I want to do as I get older, maybe have a little more free time, start traveling around and start doing some funeral home visits. And not so much for the general public, but just for other funeral home, for other funeral directors to see what works without spending the money sometimes. There's all kinds of different things that we do. I've had a couple of harebrained ideas over the years on, oh, this is going to be awesome. I laid all the logistics out and it worked from the entrepreneurial aspect, but I usually forget to factor in the manpower aspect. And that's always every idea I've ever had that hasn't worked. That's why it's failed is like it's a manpower issue. And it might work great for somebody else, a different funeral home that was bigger, maybe has more manpower. But I just sometimes I just kind of feel like we've held our secrets so closely for so long, and the older generation, which I'm learning now that I'm becoming the older generation, when I get these 18, 19-year-old mortuary science students come rolling in the door, and I'm all of 50, and they think that's old. So, the guys older than me, the boomers, if you will, the baby boomer generation, and it's just it was a different time, and they held things so differently in the funeral home, and I kind of want to see us all work together a little better.
You're preaching to the choir there. I talk about that very often as we need to do this together. It's going to help ourselves be better. It's going to help our communities more, make our businesses better. It's a collective thing, and we're getting better and better at that, which is awesome. And you're a big proponent of that, which we appreciate. And that's
It helps keep all of us relevant. Sometimes if we take that 1,000-foot view of what we do, if we're not careful, we're going to lose being relevant as funeral directors. And I don't think that's good for anybody. Not necessarily me and my job, but I don't think that's good for the community as a whole to lose grief and lose mourning. That's part of what we do. And as a human, we should want to go through that process. And I'm just, I don't want to lose the things that we can help people with. And I just think there's so many positive ways that we can do that.
There are so many ways, and it's a process that is challenging for people, and that's probably why people try to suppress it and block it out. But end of the day, it does serve a purpose, and it's serving you to get to the next chapter of your life, and it's very important. And we know that, but other people that maybe aren't in funeral service, not everyone might realize that. So they want to do things a different way that might not be as advantageous to them. Every person's different. Everyone reacts and copes differently, of course, and that's why we do what we do, so we can adjust as needed. But the grieving process is something that has been around for all of, as long as men and women have been around. Like it's been forever. Like we need to respect that and be able to say, like, and articulate to our families, like there are things that we can do that are going to help you in the future. Because if you try to block those out, a lot of times you'll have issues down the road. Maybe you're not seeing it in a month's time or a couple months, but down the road, like that stuff catches up with you, and you feel it. Maybe it's like an unsettling feeling because you didn't have that time to yourself and with your family, or even thinking about a loved one that's passed away. It's really important that we are able to talk to our families openly and honestly about that.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't, I can always think back. It hasn't been that long since my dad died. If we didn't do the things that we did for my dad's funeral, I don't think mentally, grief-wise, I would be where I'm at. Of course, you miss the person forever. That's
Yeah,
not going to change.
that doesn't go away. Yeah.
But to be able to be happy about the opportunity to have been in that person's life, whether it's your parent or a friend or, whatever it might be, if you don't take the time to grieve your loss, you can't really get to those happy tears, I like to call them, for all the fun times.
Yeah, and especially it depends on the type of loss too, because if you have a sudden loss, you even more so need it. If people are struggling for a long time, like suffering with an illness, you might have already begun the grieving process while they were still alive. So those are the families that you might see joking around when they're in the arrangements conference because they're already moving on to the next steps. But if you're having a sudden loss or something that you weren't quite expecting, you need to take the time to process your emotions and be in touch with yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. And when society wants you to bottle these things up and don't feel grief and don't cry, and like, that's craziness. Like, we need to be feeling those things because it is going to be good for you. It hurts in the moment, but there is a purpose and there's a reason that we do it.
We need to feel more as a society, that's for sure. We've decided to stop feeling in general, and that's not beneficial. I had a friend of mine that he had a dad that had Alzheimer's, and he's like, he's like, I grieved my dad's death twice. He goes, I grieved who he was and he was still alive. And then, I grieved him when he actually died. And it was like, if I hadn't have done both of those, he goes, I don't, he worked alongside of his dad. He was in the burial site, a funeral service. And he's like, if I didn't take the time to actually grieve the loss, I don't think I would be where I'm at either. I think we just, so many times we want to just sweep our lives under the rug. And I always, tell people that they should have a funeral service. And, people on the outside sometimes think, oh, that's just because that's how you make your money. And I'm like,
That's what I was
well,
going to
yes,
say.
I just, yes, this is how I make a living. You're 100% correct. But there's the humanistic side of me, which is much larger than the pocketbook side of me, which always makes me a much better funeral director than a businessman.
No doubt.
And my accountants will tell you that sometimes. But,
And your wife.
I'm just, yeah, and my, oh yeah, she reminds me too. Yes. Oh yeah. She reminds me sometimes too that I'm much a better funeral director than I am being a hardcore businessman and making getting people to pay sometimes. But yeah, it's I just think we've got to just make sure that we're taking time for ourselves and grieve something we've lost.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a
So,
fact. That's a fact.
nope.
I got a last question for you. You talked about, I guess it's
All
a
right.
two-part question. One is you've had some ideas in the past that you said that you didn't quite have the enough manpower, enough power at your
Oh,
funeral home.
sure.
Give us one of those ideas. That's the first part. And then second part, you really seem like you want to have an impact on young funeral directors. I know we have a good amount that listen to this, so give me one piece of advice for a young funeral director after. So those are my final two. Boom, boom, back to back for you.
Okay. All right. Got it. All right. My first one and still my favorite one, and someday I'm going to bring it back. It's called the Veterans Tribute. Because I still have all the stuff. I bought like full size outdoor 3x5 flags and flag poles and everything that I could put outside. So anytime we have a veteran's funeral, we would decorate like all of the front of the funeral home. We have
That's
two
cool.
entrances with flags. And then just to really, obviously, big 3x5 flags blowing in the wind catch people's attention when they're driving by.
No
But then
doubt.
the next step would be the next day at the cemetery when you send your flower person out. This is where it takes two people to go do this part, is you create what we call, it's called the Walk of Honor. So I take like 10, or it just depends on how long it is, and line the walkway where we're going to carry the casket with flags. So
That's
as the pallbearers are carrying the casket over to the grave, If we're having military rites, of course, you've got the military guys there. You've got active military. I'll have them process over in front of us. So you have them and they're walking between the flags. And then all the family kind of come in between and, and walk in the flags in between them. So there's a clear pathway to get over to the grave.
That's cool.
Probably one of my favorites, but it takes more manpower and time than we have to, it's
That's
something that's still there. I still have all the stuff. It's just I'm hopefully someday I can either create a simpler way to do it. It's hard to get flakes on the ground sometimes in July when the ground's rock hard, or in January when it's frozen. So
yeah.
obviously there's some physical limitations with our weather around here too, but that's probably one of my favorite things that I wish I could keep going. Just,
Yeah.
as we have fewer veterans every year because we're losing, our World War II guys, and that's the last time we had thousands and thousands of people that were forced to join the military. So I don't have
Right.
near the veteran funerals that I did 15 years
I'm
ago.
sure, right. Yeah.
You just don't have as many.
Yeah.
So
Very
yeah,
cool.
that's probably one of my favorite things that I would love to carry on, and I kind of wanted to trademark it, but I'm like I don't even have time to do it myself. But
Yeah.
so it's out there. If anybody has time to use it and they want to, I can give them some more input. I think it's just one of those things that again, I think what's where we can better help serve each other. So yeah, that's
Absolutely.
probably my favorite thing I can't do right now.
Yeah, I
I
love
think
it.
my number one
Very cool.
thing, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think, gosh, there's so many things.
Yeah.
I feel like we're kind of with our young staff right now, and I kind of talk to them, and one of the biggest issues that we're facing in funeral service as a general, it's never been a high paying job. Never has been.
Might
It
be
used to be
home,
for your apprentice, they gave you dirt sandwiches for lunch and you should be happy that you actually got dirt in your bread. That's kind of what it was like. That's not the world we live in anymore. Apprentices want, it used to just be those were the dues you paid to
right.
become a funeral director. You didn't make a lot, particularly as an apprentice. They just want more than that, and it's not wrong, I don't think. But you have to really look. I think in order to become a good funeral director, you really got to look internally and decide. It's a dedication to become a funeral director. It's a dedication to yourself. It's a sacrifice to not only your own personal life, to your family life, to your free time. You have to be willing to make those sacrifices and not become grumpy at the place you work.
That's the hard part.
Not, I see a lot of young funeral directors, mostly when they complain, it's about, I see them complain, oh, the boss doesn't do, they don't do anything and they don't do, and we're working so hard. And I, being a guy that did not grow up around a funeral, everything I've done has been through blood, sweat, and tears.
Right.
I worked as a grunt apprentice. I worked at a small funeral home as the only licensed guy besides the owner. I used to, in my mind, think, man, what does he do? I'm running around and doing everything else. But until you really run a business, you don't realize the 10 million things that go on behind the scenes that I never had to worry about.
No doubt.
And I think sometimes, and I did it, I'll be the first to admit, when I was younger, I used to hold grudges. I don't know if grudge is the right word, but I used to think, why am I over here busting my butt doing everything? And, somebody else is sitting there taking either A, all the credit, which, that nobody wants to work for that guy.
No, no.
But, if you've got a good basis funeral home, you really open conversations, I think, for young funeral directors when they feel a way about the funeral home is really their best bet to talk to either a senior funeral director that might be at that funeral home, or the owner or the manager and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling, you know, and we can explain, like, here's the things that I do, here's the things that you do. We all have different jobs that we do. And, you know, and I think until really they realize that's what really is going on at a funeral home.
Right.
I think internally that's difficult for young staff because they just don't know, they haven't been there yet.
Yes.
You know, obviously pay is one of them. That's one of the things I discuss with young funeral directors all the time. And they're like, why would I want to work this much and make, you know, $20 an hour as an apprentice when I can go to Target and work $20 an hour, work 40 hours a week and go home and have no issues, you know exactly when I'm going to work, know when I'm going to be off, be very specific on how my life is. And I said, well, you're not going to get that here in a funeral home, particularly a smaller funeral home.
Yeah,
you're just not going to get it. And that's where you have to learn that there's sacrifices that come along with being a funeral director. But man, the fulfillment, aside from just being tired, I sleep so well at night.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you can truly make a difference in people's lives,
absolutely,
help them through most undoubtedly one of the worst days of their life, and they say thank you,
yeah,
for making this better than I ever could have imagined. Until I owned a funeral home, that's all I ever needed. You know,
yes.
I need them to pay now too, because I have bills to pay. But before I owned the funeral home, I didn't, you know, if they hugged me and said thank you at the end, like,
it's a different level.
It was just amazing. And it still is, you know. And for me, I've got my main funeral director, my only other funeral director here right now. I mean, she's young. She's been with me for 5 years, right out of high school and through mortuary school. And for me, having mentored her through the beginning, about the only thing I love more than people telling me I did a great job and they were grateful for everybody here is when one of them comes up to me and says, she did a great job. You know, because at that point, I know that what we do as funeral directors is carried on to the next generation. And it's almost like a proud dad thing for me.
No doubt.
You know, she's grown up here. And, you know, I do tell her quite frequently, I'll teach her something. She goes, oh, I didn't know about that. I said, I've told you many a times. I've taught you everything you know, but I haven't taught you everything I know. So,
don't forget,
you know,
that.
There's always something. My point is, there's always something to be learned from one of us old timer guys. You know, maybe we're not with the times so much anymore, but in funeral service, we're pretty with the times. And you know, there is something to be learned from us. And, you know, if your heart's in it, there's a lot of not great places to work out there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But there are a ton of great funeral directors, great owners that are in desperate need of finding that quality person that, you know, that wants to make that commitment to our vocation. You know, it's not a job. It is a lifestyle and it is a vocation. You know, there are sacrifices that you make, but can't put money on it. And like I told you earlier, I love what I do. And you know, my kids tell me, and my wife says, I'll probably work till about noon of the day of my own funeral. You know, it's just, it's in my blood and it's apparently where I was meant to be. Cause I have no reason I should have ever become a funeral director.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't grow up around it at all. We had no family friends that owned funeral homes or even were funeral directors. I have no reason that I should be here other than I was supposed to be. And, you know, if your heart tells you that, you got to power through some of the other things and not worry about what everybody else is doing.
No doubt. And I could tell that you've got that in you. You can always feel that when someone's got the passion for what we do and it comes across with you, Mark. It's really...
Yeah.
Really amazing. And I couldn't agree more with the things with the young funeral directors. You can learn a lot from a lot of different people and take it in and hone in on your skills and learn from the people around you. And it is a calling.
Good and bad.
Yeah, good and bad. Trust me on that.
Yeah.
And it is a calling. It's not for everyone. And that's why we see so much turnover, because it does get at you. But if you make it through to the other side and you find yourself in a spot that you are enjoying, you'll love it forever. And I do love what you said about young funeral directors and getting agitated maybe with the owners or the older funeral directors. And that's something that I've noticed too, whether it's at, you know, at my funeral home or at other funeral homes that we've worked with, or where I did my apprenticeship, any of those things, like you would see some younger, most of the time, funeral directors get irritated with the owner or whoever it might be. But it, like you said, Mark, it's a full-time other job managing the business. And it just doesn't, like, it doesn't make sense to me like that, that would irritate someone, because there's the only way for there to be success in the business is if our owners are working on the business, and we get obsessed with working in it. Does that make sense? So like working on the business from a high level, like what are strategies, like financials, all of that sort of stuff, marketing, advertising, what we're going to do for our families, our services, all that sort of stuff is very high level. That's the guiding part of the ship, and we need to have that. And unfortunately, a lot of times at our small funeral homes, we get sucked into the day-to-day because we need to be there. There's no option. The business side of things sometimes gets put to the side and gets dealt with later, and it's not the number one priority, when in actuality, that should be the number one priority, because that's going to be the best way to help your business grow and to help you serve more families in the best way possible. So young funeral directors, understand that there are a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that you might not realize, and you probably don't want to deal with either.
No, and there's a lot of times that we're still working when everybody else goes home, because that's when the phones quit ringing. You know, we can get some of that other stuff done. We can do some of our strategic planning. And now, like I said, I have a benefit. I can sometimes sit at home in my recliner with my wife, or go out for a nice dinner and not be here, but we're still strategic planning. And we're like, all right, what's the big, we try to do, I don't ever want to have a funeral home that looks the same as it did 25 or 30 years ago when you had grandma's funeral here. So, you know, what's the big investment project we're doing this year? You know, what is it? You know, we're just finishing up with a full chapel remodel, from last year. Just got a couple little things to tidy up. Before that, our funeral home was built in the 80s and it was all popcorn ceiling. So those have all come down, and the giant brass chandeliers and, there's just always some sort of strategic planning going on, $100,000 worth of concrete repairs, or, you know, I mean, just things that I never thought about till I owned a funeral home.
Absolutely.
So we try to be open with our staff and be like, all right, here's where we're at. Here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. You know, please understand that I may look like I sit at my desk 8 hours a day, but I'm usually juggling about 4 things at once. And, I tell them, I said, there's days I miss just walking into the prep room, embalming bodies, getting them ready and putting them in the chapel.
There's no doubt about it.
But again, I still wouldn't have it any other way. And it's, it's one of my favorite things to do is embalm. And I don't do it like I used to, but it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree with you
more. So young funeral directors, we're out there. There's this older, experienced people that want to take you under their wing, become your friend, whatever it might be. There's plenty of us out there that want to help you succeed. So go find that guy or gal, whoever it might be. So
and there's no doubt there's a need.
My open calling card to any young funeral director.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Wonderful. Well, Mark, thanks so much for joining us today. Great stuff, good knowledge. And
absolutely.
We wish you nothing but the best to you and your family, and to your mom too. We'll be thinking and praying for you.
Oh yeah, I appreciate that. And I'll continue to enjoy watching your memes. And next time you're going to push up daisies, find a daisy, not a carnation.
I love it. I love it.
That was still one of my favorites. That whole thing you did was still one of my favorites. Trying to know what you were doing. So yeah, that was really entertained me. So
that was called. That's what we had that day. So that's what happened.
Yeah, I know. That's what you said. You're like, sorry, that's all I had. I'm like, wow, okay, I'll let it slide.
Love it. Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining.
Hey, thank you. Absolutely.
Great episode.
Best of luck, and we'll catch up soon. We're not that far apart. So absolutely. We'll see you around.